Off the Ball, GAA.
You would have associated Cork with small, nippy players. That seems to be changed now to big, nippy players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Well, after an achievement of the magnitude of what Rory McIlroy has achieved, you want to talk to as many of the greats of Irish golf as possible. And I'm delighted that Paul McGinley has taken time out of his very busy schedule to join us on this Monday lunchtime in Ireland, but early Monday morning post Masters Sunday in Augusta. How are you, Paul?
Hi. Good morning from Augusta. Thank you, Nathan. Good. Yeah, I mean, still on a bit of a high from yesterday. It was a great day. Great day for golf. Great day for Ireland. Great day, obviously, for Rory. Just great. You know, the game of golf needed a day like that and a victory like that. And we couldn't have a better Grand Slam champion than Rory.
I haven't experienced a day like this, Paul, in a long, long time. Wandering around Dublin, it is the only topic of conversation. Everybody was glued to their TV screens. Everybody was willing and wanting Rory McIlroy to get over the line. I think everyone's walking around like zombies at the moment. This will go down as one of the most dramatic nights of sport we've ever seen.
Yeah, I was doing American TV last night and I put it down as second most memorable Masters for me. 86, when Nicklaus charged on the last day, was number one, but I put that down as two. And there's so many reasons why. I mean, the volatility in the scoring in any sporting event, no matter what it is, if there's volatility in the scoring, that makes for excitement. You're up and you're down. Your emotions are all over the place. And we certainly had that yesterday. And then you put in the human story as well. It's a professional one of Rory, you know, 11 years not winning a major championship and on the precipice of winning a few and letting it slip between his fingers and then coming back and yesterday the ups and the downs and you hit every shot with him and you rode every bump with him. And as I say, the human side of it as much as anything was really important. I think people bought into that.
And how could you not, when Rory McIlroy has bared his soul over the last decade and certainly over the last 4 or 5 years, you go back to that first tee shot at Portrush in 2019 and the just utter devastation and the way he rallied on the Friday and more this sense of him becoming the people's champion, yet still at St. Andrews, at Pinehurst, not able to get over the line. It has been the most exhilarating, the most enthralling story in sport and, whew, boy, did it go right the way to the end.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you've been following Rory's career, like we have over the years, you know, there's been it's been a mixed bag, because on the one hand you have this brilliance that he does on a week to week basis on the European Tour as well as the PGA Tour, where he seems to be in contention every week and knocks off these huge victories and wins the Order of Merits, and you know, when he gets a chance to win, he barges through the line. And then on the other side you get him into major championships and it seems like the weight of expectation on his shoulders and the scar tissue from not getting over for such a long period of time, bearing in mind the quality player that he is, was just weighing so heavily on him, and he just wanted to see him burst through that. And yesterday, kind of was a microcosm, wasn't it, of everything that we've seen in Rory's career, particularly in majors in the last 10 years, in terms of the ups and downs, the expectation that just when we thought he was going to coast to victory, he found a way of putting himself back in the pack again. And then when he's back in the pack, he found his way of moving himself forward again. It really was a complete roller coaster. I know it's a cliche, but that's what it was yesterday. And that's what makes, as I say, sport and golf so enthralling and brilliant, is when there is volatility in the score. And he gave us that yesterday.
I'm sure you were incredibly busy as the round was coming to a close and in the hours afterwards with your work with Golf Channel and NBC and with Sky Sports. But did you get a sense of what the atmosphere was like in those minutes and hours after Rory finally holed that putt in the first playoff hole?
Yeah, I mean, our golf studio was quite a ways. It's at the end of the range, so it's probably 500 yards away from the 18th green. But oh my God, the roars. And when he put on the green jacket, another massive roar. And then when he went into the media center, which is next door to us, another massive roar. So I think it was a very, very popular win. I said it on TV on Saturday night. You know, anybody who loves the game of golf, bearing in mind all the negative headlines that we've had in the last couple of years and the grubbiness around money and the LIV starting up and the PGA Tour and the divisiveness in the game, and you know, two camps going on in terms of whether it being on LIV or whether it being on the old established tours of PGA and European tours. And this was a real victory for golf. It kind of united the game again. And I think, as I say, the victory for Rory was as much about human nature and trials and tribulations that we all have as humans. And that's what kind of resonated with people. You can see the pain that he's gone through over the years, and redemption stories. And we love comebacks, and Hollywood makes movies based on comebacks. And this was one of them happening in real life in front of our eyes.
And geez, it doesn't bear thinking about what sort of conversation we'd be having today if Justin Rose had won that playoff. As brilliant a competitor and as brilliant as a person Justin Rose came across as, for Rory, if he hadn't got over the line, considering the dominant position he had put himself in, I'm not sure how any of us would have got over that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It would have been a very different narrative this morning, and there would have been a lot of questions asked. But, you know, there's been a lot of questions asked anyway, and there's a lot of there's been a lot of criticism from Rory over the years. You know, he's well used to the stick coming his way, and yeah, the stick would have been, the noise would have been louder than ever. But you know, I would have still had the view that, and I've been saying it for quite a while now, this is the new version. This is an evolution of Rory McIlroy. I think the addition of Barbara Teller to his team, the psychologist, in the last couple of years has given him a new sense of purpose and a new strategy under pressure. And I just felt that. You know, I see it in his eyes, in his language, in the game. That there was a focus again. The pointy elbows, as I call them, was back, and he was on the march. And he's had a great season, early season this year, with really strong performances and two huge victories. But yeah, you're right. It would have been a big comeback if he hadn't won there yesterday, because three times he had the tournament won, Nathan. Three times he had to win it three different times before he eventually got over the line.
I don't know how you managed to analyze that final round then, because in a way, everything that's been said about McIlroy, positive and negative, over the last 10 years sort of played out in that final round, in that he hit some of the most impressive shots we've seen under pressure around Augusta when he really needed them. But also what happened on 13 with the short 85-yard wedge, the misput again on 18 after what happened at Pinehurst. Like the good, the bad, everything rolled into one somehow in that final round.
Absolutely. It's exactly what it was. And as I say, he found a way of losing every time when he looked like he was coasting. I mean, he was four ahead standing on the 11th tee box. Okay, 11 is a tough hole, and maybe he got a little bit lucky. His second shot could have gone in the water. And then he played 12 comfortably, and then he played 13 conservatively. You think, you know, he's just going to use his experience now to get over the line. And the third shot on 13 was as bad a shot as I've ever seen Rory hit. You know, he was 92 yards. The whole world on the left-hand side, the whole world behind the flag, and to miss his target by probably 15 yards from that distance was, I mean, that was just as bad as it gets from us. Like, oh my God, what are we going to face now? I mean, how is he going to come back from this? Because when, as a player, when you hit a shot like that, that's so out of left field, it does shake you. It shakes you to your foundation. And to reset again, and two holes later hit the shot that he did on 15. He went from probably one of the worst shots of his career on 13 to one of the best shots of his career on 15 within the space of 20 minutes. And again, if that doesn't sum up Rory McIlroy the golfer, what does?
And I'm sure you've been thinking about it. Like, how do you explain all of that happening in the space of, what was it, 20 minutes?
Yeah. Absolutely. You put it down to the pressure. Of course it's the pressure. And it's the losing of focus like he did on 13. And, you know, he's got gremlins in his head like all of us do. And as I say, scar tissue that's built up over the years of making mistakes and missing short putts when he was on the threshold of winning these majors. You know, obviously a gremlin came in at the wrong time on 13 and, you know, don't hit it in the water, don't hit it in the water. And what do? You hit it in the water. And then it's almost, you know, the thing about Rory is, again, I always feel he's better when he's going forward. When he's defending, he's not at his best. And when he's got the pointy elbows and he's chasing something down, that's when he's at his best. And his best shots were played when he got behind the eight ball yesterday. You know, double bogey on one and then not birdie in two. But then he hit one of the best shots of the day, which was kind of under the radar somewhat, was that chip shot on three. He was going up a bank there, 25 foot. I mean, nobody was chipping it in close there like he did on that third hole. And then he stands up in the next hole and hits another magnificent shot as he hunted down. You know, remember, he'd given the lead away and DeChambeau was leading at that stage. And to birdie three and then hit that shot into four, one of the most difficult par threes, if not the most difficult on the golf course, was just sheer brilliance. And then he stands up on five and nearly hits it out of bounds. It was. I'm going to say a microcosm of Rory McIlroy's career, and it's one of the reasons why we all love to watch him play, and why he's so energizing to play and so interesting to watch, and why our view on figures pop every time Rory McIlroy is in contention. It's because he is so volatile, interesting, magnetic. And you don't know what's going to come next. You know, watching Scotty Scheffler, who's a lot more clinical, is nowhere near as exciting. You know, you'll see the ratings when they come out, I'm sure, tomorrow on one of the most viewed ever Masters this was, compared to Scotty Scheffler's last year, where he was a lot more clinical, indeed, the two Masters that he did. So there's something like Tiger had that X factor as well. You tune in because you don't know what's coming next. And it can be good, it can be bad, it can be ugly, and it can be spectacular as well.
You would have spent a lot of time with Rory at his absolute peak in 2014 when you were Ryder Cup captain. And you look at how his game has changed and developed. So back in 2014, 60% of his strokes gained were coming off the tee because he was the dominant driver of the ball. Coming into this tournament, it was in and around 37%. So
that's right.
His approach play, his wedge play, his putting had all improved. That change and the work he's done with Michael Bannon, what have you seen over recent years in terms of how he's developed the other side of his games?
Yeah, and that's why many of us in the game say that he's a better player now than he's ever been. He's a more rounded player, and it's an evolution of Rory McIlroy. As you say, in his early career, he burst on the scene further and straight than anybody else. He brought these golf courses to its knees. He thrived on confidence. There was also a bit of a vacuum there. Tiger Woods was starting to go off the scene. Duval was starting to go off the scene. Ernie Els was starting to go off the scene. And there was a vacuum there to step into their shoes, and he did. And he won four majors in quick succession by playing this game of golf that nobody had really seen before in terms of dominating golf courses with the power off the tee. And over the years, it kind of all that, the rest of the guys caught up to him, and all of a sudden now guys were playing a game that was quite similar to him and somewhat better at playing that game. But what we've seen, I think, in the last 6 months in particular, with the addition, there's two big additions to his team. One of the first one was Brad Faxon was putting. Now, Brad Faxon is is an ex-player himself and regarded as one of the greatest putters of his generation. But he's a very creative putter. He's a guy that doesn't go into the science too much of it. He's fundamentally based, but it's about creativity and it's about having fun on the greens and not picking exact targets, having a feel and a touch and getting your speed right with the putts and getting into a really good routine where you're not overthinking it, standing over the ball. And I, when he started working with Rory, I always felt that was a really good marriage there, because they were both singing from the same hymn sheet, because Rory's a very creative player. He doesn't overthink it when he hits the golf ball. And now he had a putting coach who was not ever going to think it and was going to teach him how to not overthink it with putting. So that was the first move. Then he started putting well. He started having success. His stats started getting better. And then the next evolution was Bob Rotella came on board on the back of losing the US Open last year when he bogeyed three of the last four holes and had somewhat of a meltdown as he didn't win that against Bryson DeChambeau. And Rotella has been a big voice in his ear and a stronger voice in his ear. He had been working with him before that, but I think Rory recognized after that US Open that he needed some help, that he needed somebody to kind of help him, guide him over the line. And Rotella had a huge track record of getting great players over the line, including our own Patrick Harrington as well as he's working with Shane now as well. And he's a great guy, and he's one of these tough love guys. You know, he's not a guy on the shoulder and telling you how great you are. You know, he pokes you and prods you. And again, that was something that Rory needed and he reacts well to. And then the third thing is what we've seen at the end of last year, beginning of this year, when Rory's gone to a golf ball that spins the ball more. In other words, it pops in the air a bit more. And the reason why he wanted that was he felt that he didn't have to hit it as hard to keep the ball down and yet still have flight on it with his wedges. So we saw big improvements in his distance control over the last 6 months, where he's hitting these three-quarter wedges in, particularly when he played in Pebble Beach, a place that he'd never played well in before, and he went on to win that tournament. So there was a technical element to his game that was improving, and it was a change in equipment to a golf ball that spun more, that let him kind of still hit these driven flights in there, but still have enough spin on them so that when they landed the green, they went knuckling. So now you're kind of... You kind of got the pieces, the jigsaw in place, and then validated early season with two huge wins and two great golf courses against very strong fields, one in Pebble Beach and the second in Sawgrass. So that kind of is the backdrop to him going into this Masters and why somebody like Jack Nicklaus and Tom Watson and Gary Player, all three of them who hit the opening shot on Thursday, all three of them at the press conference on this week at Augusta National pinpointed Rory as maybe this being his year. And many of us in the media did too, that, you know, he really is the best edition of himself and has the best chance of doing it because mentally he was in a better place, technically he was in a better place. And, you know, he had the pieces and the jigsaw all put together.
And yet it's still unimaginable the pressure that was on his shoulders when he stood in that 18th green yesterday with not just the 11 years of heartbreak, but what had happened on Thursday when, for once, he put himself in a good position and played just this wonderful golf on Thursday and almost threw it all away with two late double bogeys. A double bogey at the first yesterday, and he talks about the nerves and really not being able to eat yesterday. As we said, everyone kind of thought it was done at the turn, and again on 13... I don't know if anyone has ever stood over a putt on the 18th hole with the level of pressure that McIlroy had on 18 yesterday. And maybe then understandable what happens afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, that's a build-up of 11 years of accumulated angst with these major championships. And as I say, so much criticism that has come his way. And he knows that. And he knew that. And there's nobody more critical than he is of himself, knowing that he's let these opportunities slip. And it's okay saying, oh, well, like he did in 2011, you know what? I'm going to have loads of chances to win the Masters. But he's moved on in age, Nathan. He's 36 now next month. And, you know, the window was starting to close a little bit in terms of time. And as you get older and you actually build up more scar tissue as a golfer and know the things that can go wrong, you don't have the innocence of youth and the bravado of youth on your shoulder, it becomes more and more difficult. And there was a lot of noise around him about when is he going to win a major and a lot of criticism coming his way. So that, as he said yesterday, when that putt went in, he said at his press last night, he said the feeling was not one of ecstasy, it was just relief.
It was ecstasy soon afterwards, I suspect, as it was for all of us watching. Your sense then, you've outlined all the brilliant work that he has done, and so much of our life covering golf is building towards the Masters and the Rory story. Do you think all of those things he was doing was always with the Masters front and centre?
Yeah, certainly there was part of it. It was the one major he wanted to win of all of them and to complete the Grand Slam, of course. It's also, you know, maybe, and I don't know, it's up for him to answer this, but maybe this is the major that means the most to him. I think he actually did say that in his press conference yesterday, and he said it with a sheepish smile with the RNA in mind and the Open being his home major. But completing the Grand Slam, Nathan, I mean, that is something very, very special. Only Tiger Woods in the last 59 years has done that. And one of the reasons, and many players have come close, I believe 12 players have come close, with all the stats done on this. And even though Phil Mickelson came second so many times in the US Open to complete his Grand Slam, he never came second. Or he never really threatened when he was sitting on three of the four majors. And nobody really got close to doing it. Jordan Spieth is sitting on three of the four majors, but he never comes close to winning the PGA, which is the last one for him to complete the Grand Slam. It's very, very difficult to get over the line because of the expectation and mental buildup that sits on you this one tournament a year that you're trying to knock off to go into immortality in terms of golfers. It's a very, very difficult thing to do. And the skill sets that require to be a Grand Slam champion are very, very different. You've got the links and the wind and the rain and the bouncing and the links conditions that you have for the Open. And then you got the PGA, US PGA, which is very similar to a PGA Tour event, but a little bit more difficult. And then you've got the drama and everything and the history that goes around with Augusta. So they all require very different skill sets. And to say that you are a Grand Slam winner means that A, you've completed all those skill sets, and many players have all of those skill sets. But then you've dealt with the last one getting over the hurdle. The pressure of getting over the last one mounts and mounts and mounts and mounts. You get one chance a year to do it. And he's done it. Not alone has he knocked away not winning a major in 11 years, he's knocked away the Grand Slam and the Masters. So he's done three for one.
Mm. I'm sure you've seen online people were wondering what you were talking about when you were on Sky afterwards when you spoke about Rory dividing opinion and isn't everybody's cup of tea. Can you expand on that in terms of what you were referring to?
Yeah, you know, it was a ham-fisted way of what I was trying to say in the heat of the moment. I probably got the wording right on that. I was talking about him, the criticism that has come his way more than anything, Nathan. And people are very quick to criticise, and people love to have a go at him. And it's been 11 years of that. And what I was trying to do was relate that criticism that has come his way to the human side of it. And for everybody at home to, you know, we've all gone through challenges in life, and this was a life challenge as much as anything. And to show the resilience that he showed yesterday, to show the stubbornness that he showed of not being beaten, to get back up off the floor, having been knocked down with a few heavy punches, was such a human story as much as anything else. And yeah, you know, I probably did it in a ham-fisted way. You know, when you're on live TV, it probably wasn't the right thing to say, saying he wasn't everybody's cup of tea. But what I was trying to say was the criticism that has come his way, and so many people, he's probably the most criticised golfer that there is in the game.
Absolutely.
And to see him come out the other side was really thrilling. And you know, for somebody like me that knows him so well, and I spent a lot of time with him, I was just so happy for Rory McIlroy the person, more so than Rory McIlroy the golfer.
I think most people who were watching would have understood what you were saying, particularly with the journey that he's gone on through the last decade. When I was talking to Harrington earlier and speaking about levels of greatness, and he was saying, can we not just say everything is great and that Katie Taylor winning gold was great and that Harrington winning the three majors was great and Rory winning this, and we don't need to get into ranking things. But I know you have a good sense of overall sporting achievement. Like this has got to be up there with the greatest achievement by any Irish athlete ever?
I would think so. I would think so. Look, I'm a lover of all. I'm with Padraig. I mean, I cheer, you know, two Irish flies going up a wall against anybody else. I'm going to be cheering them. And I love the Olympics, and probably the most emotional event that I've ever been at that touched my heart more than anything was when I was at the Olympics in 2016 with the Irish golf team. And I've been involved in Ryder Cups and now seeing Rory Grand Slam and everything, but nothing resonated and meant more to me or touched my heart more than being part of that Olympic team. And I wasn't even playing. You know, I was the team manager for the golf team. So I get all of that. And it's always difficult. You know, you can only be as good as you can be in your own individual sport. And you know, Katie is great in her individual sport. You know, Johnny Sexton and Brian O'Driscoll in their individual sport, they got as high as you can get, and Rory has got as high as he can get. You're so proud to see the Irish performing as well as they've done, and we really, really punch above our weight for such a small little country. And I think a lot of it goes back to our fabric and goes back to how sporting minded we are and what great foundations we have in Ireland growing up. I was privileged to grow up on the edge of Dublin, and the facilities that we had, okay, the facilities nowadays are a million times better than they were, but I didn't lack sport. You know, I had soccer, I had Gaelic, I had hurling, I had golf. I mean, there was any sport that I wanted to play, the opportunity was there to do it. And we've got great structures, fabric, as well as competition in Ireland. And so many people put in so much effort not being paid. You know, GAA comes to mind in particular for people to realise their dreams. And I'm sure Rory would recognise that as much as anybody else. Mm. He's a product of Ireland. He's a product of the Golf Union of Ireland. Ireland back in the day, Golf Ireland as it's called now. He's a product of the West of Ireland and the Irish Close and the North and East and South of Ireland that he all played and all the scratch cups that he played and representing Ireland, putting on the green jersey. And without all of that foundation, he would never have reached the precipice of the game like he has yesterday. To be a Grand Slam winner, only six people in the history of the game have done it, and one of them is Irish. Boy, that says something.
Hmm. What we talk about next was how he started his press conference last night. I think we all know what we'll talk about next, because the future just feels so exciting now for McIlroy. We're a month away from the next major championship, Quail Hollow, USPGA, where he's won four times. The fact that this weight is now lifted off his shoulders, what are your expectations of what the next months and years might look like for Rory?
Well, I have said past couple of years, if he wins one, he'll win three or four. And nothing gives me reason to think that won't happen. I think his game is in a great place. And he also plays a game that's got longevity in it. He's one of the longest hitters in the game. As he goes up towards his 40s, he's going to lose a bit of that power and that bit of distance. But when you're so far ahead in terms of distance off the tee, and even if he loses 5%, which is kind of normal between now and the age of 40 or just over 40, loses 5% of his power, he's still going to be good enough to be able to compete and contend at the very, very top of the game. So barring injury, he's got a game that will stand the test of time. And there's certainly another window of maybe even 10 years that he can contend at the very, very top level and not feel like age is catching up with him, barring injury. So I think the ambition is there now, is to chase down as many majors as he can. Certainly chasing down Nick Faldo is the next thing in the sights, who has won six majors. Rory's now on five. I know that will be a big thing for him to be the European who's won the most majors. So getting to seven, well, first of all, getting six and then to seven, I would say would be his immediate goals. And he's not finished yet. I really do believe there's going to be more majors. And now maybe like it's a pressure release valve now that's been released, he may become a little bit more unburdened, less pressure as he gets to these majors, and kind of, you know, get those pointy elbows out and off you go.
Yeah, let's go back to 2014, Rory, where he just bulldozes the field and we don't have to go through the stress of a night like that ever again, because I'm not sure any of us could handle it. It was one of the great, great nights, not just of Irish sport, but I think of sport of recent years. Paul, brilliant stuff over the weekend. The coverage was really top class as ever, and thanks so much for taking your time out today.
Thanks very much.
Off the ball, GAA.
You would have associated Cork with small, nippy players. That seems to be changing now to big, nippy players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.